Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Touch the praises right now, Father God. Father God, touch the seeker on tonight, Father God. give him the words that you would have him to say for your people, for your people tonight, Father God. Father God, I just continue to ask you to give me some praise for praise God right now. Pray for our leader, Bishop Omar Zachary, right now, this devil right now, Father God. Father God, I should pray for all the elders, all the deacons, all the evangelists right now, Father God. Those that are here, those that can be here right now, Father God. I just ask you to continue to touch us, continue to bless us, Father God. Continue to strengthen us right now. And Father God, I ask that you may have your way in this service, Father God. Father God, you be in control. Father God, you are the program, Father God. We go into human matters to you right now, Father God. And Father God, we ask that souls may be touched, Father God. People may be delivered, Father God. People may be saved, Father God. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. 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 I feel good tonight. I call on my wife because I felt an emotional zone. So Sister Kate, come on up and do your thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yeah. I'm really not happy with this. And I'm going to be honest with you. I feel depressed. And then, I don't know if you know what I mean, but I feel depressed. And when the presence is there, the presence comes, not only is there power, but there's provision, there's protection. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be all right. I know it's going to be all right. Hey, thank you. Just let me say this. Yesterday when we came here, my wife said she got some bad news. Amen. This morning when we got up, she got some more bad news. Amen. Then I'm trying to encourage my wife. Amen. Then I came and gave her some bad news. Amen. So the devil's been trying to get at you to stop you. But we both know, we both understand, it's about us. It's about me. As long as we can be in the presence, we can handle those things. Even though the news made their bad this morning, I'm a firm believer by the time we leave out that bad news is going to come into fruition. Amen. Because I feel the presence. The presence is alive. He's going to remind you of God. And when you feel like you can't go off, he's going to give you the strength of God. When you feel like there's no hope, there's no hope. It's about that opportunity. I feel this thing right now. I don't care about the world. I don't care about a lot of other things. Everything that I'm concerned about, it's so in the Lord. And at the end of the day, I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And one thing about when you have services like this, when you live into eternity, you will remember every time you didn't show up. So there's some people that can be here, but really not here. Some people can be sitting right in your seat and not be here. I used to be like that, so I know what I'm talking about. I come to church and sit here and be anywhere else and don't hear what God is trying to say. But then, when I get here, now it's different because I feel the presence and I feel God working on me. God is a good God. God is a good God. And I say that because I know it. And I told him, if you had told me that, I would have told you not to come. That's why I didn't tell you. Because the Lord was telling him he needed to be healed. And before this even started, we went to the same high school. He's a little older than I am. And we went to the same high school. And from 87 to 90 was our reign there. Amen. And it's the people in our circle that we really haven't talked to in years has been buzzing about this right here in Rome. So when I spoke to my brother, and you got to understand me and my brother really don't talk about church stuff, but he was asking me about all these things and mental reps, all that other stuff, because you guys are going to be doing a revival. I said, it's going to be on blog talk. I said, yeah. Oh, so he's not going to be there. No, he will be here in person. So he made the drive from Kentucky all the way up here with a smile on his face. And that put a smile on my face. Because he didn't have to come. And with all that he's went through, he could have easily said, I'm going to pass. And I was totally understood. But I told him I was going to counsel last week when I was in the hospital. I already had the flyer ready for cancel. Amen? But for some reason, I didn't have it to do it. Amen? Right. Now, the flesh there wanted to do it. But when the Holy Spirit takes over, it is that what it wants to do. And I didn't do it. And I don't know what, now I know what to do to fulfill it. Because there's a little town in the middle of the ring, I'm going to call them out, that needs to hear this revival. They've been talking about it more than anybody else. Amen? So I'm like, something must be right. I call my wife on the ride home, and I'm like, I feel good now after talking to my brother. Everything that he's going to do on this side of the world will do the same thing I'm going to do. Amen? And now he brought him here. He had a smile sitting in the lobby, just ready to speak the word. Amen. And let me don't I'm gonna say this because I can say a lot about him, but he has been a true friend to me since I've been having him on the radio show and having him do the Bibles on the radio show for me. He's introduced me to a lot of people. I was invited to be a part of the athletes prayer, and he had former athletes, baseball, football, in a Zoom praying for one another. And he invited me to come in. And they welcomed me with open arms. But everybody knew who he was. So the guy came in a little late, and they were to drive on. And everybody just loved this man. Black, white, it doesn't matter. They just love this man. It don't matter how much wealth you got, what you don't have, everyone just loves this brother. He's a family man. This year he's been married 29 years. Next year it'll be 30 years. And to be married 30 years is a blessing. Don't say nothing about that. That's a blessing to be married 30 years. Amen. I need that type of people in my circle. Amen. Those are friends when you can get a word from them, what they're going through. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. I just want to thank you for coming out tonight. You will be blessed by the word of God that he brings forth tonight. Not because I said it, I watched him. I listen to him in the morning sometimes, and he puts out a post on Facebook or Instagram. And he's real old school, and he is about salvation. He got a picture last week, and it was a family, and I thought it was his family, and the little girl accepted Christ in his church. And that's what he promotes. He's accepting Christ. And like, you're going to hear me say a lot of stuff about things, because you got other people promoting seminars. Pay $50 to come to this. Pay $100 to come to that. So if a brother drives an hour and a half back and forth from Kentucky to Cincinnati to pastor a church, and all he preaches is salvation. Salvation. He didn't ask you how much money it was going to cost to come up here. He didn't complain about the flyer that was messed up. Amen. He asked about it, thought it was funny, and didn't say a word about it. But what he said was, I just want to do what God wants to do. And I cannot take that. God gave me an opportunity. So he drove 7 hours down here. Amen. To give us a word. give us a word. Now, I'll tell you, the pastor showed up last night. If you didn't listen to the word last night, Bishop was in rare form last night. You missed the truth. I suggest you go back on Facebook Live and listen to it, because he was in rare form. You missed a blessing. Amen? So go back and listen to it. But I know tonight, if you're in the house, you're going to be in store for another blessing. There's nothing else I can say about this brother. I can tell you that as a brother, that I love him as a friend. And I don't call too many people friends. Amen. You won't hear me say that to me more than not when I bring people up to preach. But this is a true friend. And like I said, we went to school together. If we ever would have known back then what we know now, I think it's impossible to have had this happen. But God always does the impossible, and it's impossible. And just for the 30 or 40 people we touched already, before service even got started, I'm satisfied. I told my wife, I don't care no more. Amen? Not that I don't care. I don't care. Because don't people be eating out and stuff. I do care. But the Lord has already showed out. I don't mean that now, but I know we're going to show out in the Word tonight. So, without further ado, and before I bring you up, I forgot, but on behalf of my bishop, my pastor, Pastor Omar Zachary, you welcome everyone here tonight as well. We all know it's the baseball season, and he's in one direction, and the first lady's in another direction dealing with baseball, so that's why they're not here tonight. And they do send their love and their prayers and their support tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I didn't know if I said this. I want to be incorrect. Y'all might get ignorant sometimes if you get stuff. So I wanted to try to say that. So without no further ado, I'm going to bring to you Pastor Rob all the way from Kentucky.
And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up. I would just stop right there. America needs to wake up. There's a problem in our society. There's a problem in our country right now over Ukraine and Europe. There's a problem over there. What's the real problem? It's a heart problem.
Yes, right.
There is no Christ in the hearts of these individuals. And I can honestly say this, unfortunately, there will never be world peace. It will never happen. But in the individual and in the heart of the individual with a relationship and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we can have peace in troubled times. And not over time. America needs to wake up. Again, I'll repeat this as I did Sunday at the church. The problem today, too, is we want to teach everything out of children, everything that's good out of children in the schools and otherwise. And I believe it should be mandatory in every school in this entire country that Bible should be a mandatory class from kindergarten to graduation and on to the university. So the children can understand that they're made in the image of God. And you don't attack the image of God. As an individual, when you look at somebody, you don't know them after the flesh, you know them after the spirit. As an individual made in the image of God. And that would make a change in this country. That would make a change in this world. And we have a geographical world here. We can make that change here tonight. We can make that change in Kentucky. We can make that change in Cincinnati. We can make that change in Mineral Ridge by just having that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As I look at the person in front of me, I look at them as a reflection of my God, and I'm less likely to do something to them than I would do in my flesh.
Right.
Because I see them in the image of God, as a person after the spirit, not after the flesh.
Yeah.
I wanted to add another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, since we're on this time. Man, I love it. Now is the time. Wake up. Time to wake up. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says this, as God, Paul's writing, of course, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Grace is obviously not a license to sin, it's a license to make a mistake in the service of God and get back up and keep going forward.
Yes.
For he says this in verse 2, 2 Corinthians 6, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. And now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation.
Yes.
Don't wait another day. Tomorrow might be today.
Right.
And I say this also because we know there is a coming judgment. And as we see things happening around the world, we wonder, we know we're in the last days. The last days happened after the cross. We were in the last days right now.
Right.
But certainly we know those days are approaching much quicker. Now is the time of God's favor because of the day coming when he's going to judge. And I want to just stop right there. I want to pray and then get into what we were going to talk about tonight. Now is the time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening. Thank you for each one that's come out, taking time out of their very busy schedule to be here. God, we thank you. One of the greatest tools of the devil today, and it's not a sin, but it's distraction.
Yes.
How can I distract you from getting to the church? How can I distract you from getting to the revival? It's not bad. I got to pay the bills. I got to be with the family. I've got something to do. I've got obligations. Oh, shoot, I missed church. And the devil will do that. He'll put a stumbling block before each one of them. It's called distraction. It's his greatest weapon, I believe, today. It's not a sin. It's not wrong, but we are distracted. We're very busy. So I thank you very much for those that are here tonight. Lord, I pray you bless each one here extra special to take this time to be here with their Lord. And we're two or three together. You are here in their midst as well. We are grateful, Lord. And we want you here, God. We want you here. We, in Revelation 3:20, says you stand at the door and knock. You stand at the door of our heart and knock. You went in our heart, but also, if we look at the church of Laodicea, it's because you're standing outside the church, and the church no longer has you in its presence. You're no longer inside. We're too busy with programs. We're too busy with shows. We're too busy with other things than preaching the word of God. Christ is not the center of our church. We want Jesus Christ to be the center of our church, the center of our preaching, the center of our marriages, and in the hearts of our children. You don't have to stand at the door and knock at this church, God. You're here. We want to praise you. We want you in our midst. We want you to be in control of all that we do. We surrender to you. And Lord, I just ask right now, pour through me the gift of preaching.
Yeah.
Glorify your son. Son Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
There is a time for everything. There's a time when I didn't follow God, and finally somebody prayed for me, grabbed me by the cheeks in the Nazarene Church in Niles, Ohio, and said, Bobby Rhodes, one day you're going to be a blessing. Now, me knowing me at that time, I wouldn't have thought that. I don't worry about it. I was chasing girls, playing sports, racing cars, and being the ornery young man that I was. But Pat Carlton grabbed me by the face one day, and she says, Bobby Rhodes, I just know it. You're going to be a blessing. And I'll say, I thank you her for those words of encouragement. And don't ever underestimate what your encouragement will do for somebody else. Encouraging a young person, let them see the value that nobody else sees in them. You don't know what they're going through, but you might be the light in their life that leads them to Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the most important decision that you ever make is who you will serve. And so, with that, I just want to look at Luke chapter 9, I believe. I switched the scriptures in my head. Sorry about that. Luke chapter 9, verse 18, Jesus is preaching. He's walking with his disciples. And he poses a question. And I believe this is the most important question that mankind will ever face or ever have to answer. This is it. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 says this. Once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? I love the fact that it says, I am, because we know who he's talking to. And who do the crowds say I am? Now, this is really insignificant, but it's happening. Because we know what the world, this is what I want to do today, is I want to refute the false doctrines of the world today, right here. And they replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. So others say one of the prophets, and that was in the course of Deuteronomy 18:15. One of the prophets long ago has come, and actually in Matthew 16:14 says, some say Jeremiah. We don't know really who you are. The world is telling me all kinds of things. And in the world today, what do we hear? Well, there's many ways to heaven. And I don't know if you're Oprah Winfrey fan, so don't get mad at me. Like Oprah Winfrey, she's a very influential person. But I was watching her WHO documentary one time, and she said, I believe in Jesus Christ, but there are many ways to heaven. That's the wrong message. But she said that, so she brings up Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra, and then you have other people like the Dalai Lama, Muhammad, and other people like that. But there's only one way to heaven. And this is where it comes in. It's not John the Baptist. It's not Elijah. It's not the prophets. It's not Jeremiah. And this is a question we're going to be faced with one day when we stand before God. Because we're not going to stand there because I have a good family name and get into heaven. I'm not going to get into heaven on the merits of my grandparents and my parents. I'm not going to get in there because I'm tall or famous or I have a lot of money in my checking account. I'm going to get there and get into heaven when I can answer this question properly. And this is what Jesus says to Peter. He says, but who do you say I am?
Yes.
Peter answered, and this is the right answer. So we're cheating on the test of eternity, brother. See, I'm giving you the answer. There's a test. Would you like to have that in college and high school? I used to chew off my neighbors in science. I was stupid. I couldn't do it. But I knew who the smart kids were. So I sit there, my parents are number one. So I'm cheating for you. This is the answer. But what do you say? Why should I let you into heaven, Derek? Because I'm with him.
Yes.
I'm with Jesus Christ. And that's what Peter said. What about you, Peter? Who do you say I am? And every single person is going to stand before God alone.
Yes.
Alone. Yes. Now, I believe that Paul kind of hints that maybe your pastor will be near you. Because he might have to present you. Because Paul says, I want to present you to God. And that might be a privilege of a pastor, but you have to stand before God alone on your own merit. But you're saved by grace through faith, and Peter answered, you are the Christ. You are the Son of God, and that's the answer.
Yes.
If you can answer that question in your heart, that I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and he is my Savior, and John chapter 5, it says, you can know today that you have eternal life. We don't have to stand around asking. We don't have to stand around wondering. We don't have to hope that I have enough good deeds to get into heaven. And the Muslim said, hopefully when I get there, when they add everything up, the good, outweighs the bad, and God will let me in. The answer to the question is, who do you say I am? Jesus is my have to worry about judgment.
Okay.
Did you know that? I've been studying, and it hit me one day, and this is just me, this is probably something you may have heard before, but for me it was brand new. I knew that Jesus died on the cross. I knew he took my sins on his body. But the thing that hit me was, and let me look at this just quickly. Revelation chapter 20 says this. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. Now look at this. The dead were judged according to what they had done. So, in John 3:36, it says, the wrath of God abides on those who deny Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, there is a fearful day of judgment coming for those who tread the blood of Christ under their feet. But for people who say that Jesus Christ is Lord, he is my Lord and Savior, there's no judgment for you other than, and I wrote these down, it's Corinthians says that you will be judged for reward or loss of reward, but according to the judgment, your judgment fell upon Jesus Christ. And so if you've asked for forgiveness of your sins, when it comes to judgment, if God was to bring up a sin that you committed while here on earth, he would be defying the act of the cross. God will never turn his back on his son. He took your judgment and my judgment on the cross. Jesus, who knew no sin, Zechariah 5, took our sin. He was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of thievery. He was guilty of lying. He was guilty of murder. He was guilty of all these things because we committed those crimes. We are guilty. But our debt has been paid. Our bail has been paid. And when we stand in the great white throne judgment, we will stand there watching the sinners that did not believe in Jesus Christ get their reward, and we reward to their works. And it says in verse 14 of Revelation 20, then death, and they were thrown into the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That's hard preaching. That's not popular preaching. That's not going to build me a church of 13,000. That's not going to build me a church of 5,000. What I have at home is a church of about 80. 80 tough soldiers for Jesus Christ, because we're not afraid of mentioning sin.
Right.
We're not afraid of mentioning hell.
Right.
You know why? Because I don't want anybody to go there.
That's right.
If you love somebody, you tell the truth.
Right. You're
going to lie to you if I love you, let me tell you the truth. The truth is, if we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord, Jesus Christ is our Savior, your judgment is over. The only judgment you have to look forward to is either reward or loss of reward. Like Derek said tonight, for those that didn't make it tonight, this is going to be a loss of reward. They had a decision to make. This is not to condemn anybody. I'm not being hard on anybody. I'm being honest with everybody.
Right.
As they showed up, like he said, there will be a thing here saying they were here. Reward. Or they would say, oh, there was a seat for you, but you didn't show up. Loss of reward. Don't be condemned. We're still going to heaven. But I wanted to take a look at something. There was a book perplexed me that I was looking at when Derek and I were talking, that there's books. There's books about works. Works, so people think if there's many ways to heaven, I can work my way to heaven. There's a way. God should be happy I'm in church every Sunday because I'm something special. You think you are. Guess what you got to offer God? Filthy rag. What I like about the cross is this. Everybody at the cross is equal.
No.
The playing field before the cross is equal.
Yes.
We're all equally depraved.
Yes.
We all equally need a Savior.
Yes.
We've all committed sin.
Yes.
And the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
We're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yes.
But at the cross, we can get a remedy to our sin problem. Sin can be eradicated.
Yes.
And our name can be written in the Lamb's book of life.
Yes.
Everybody, it's free opportunity.
Yes.
God doesn't care. Whosoever will may come.
Yes.
Another doctrine that I don't like is that some people will say, well, John 6:44 says, no one can come to the Son unless God draws him. Well, I got another verse for you. John 12:32 says, when I am lifted up, I'm going to draw all men unto me.
Yeah.
All men unto me. God doesn't care where you come from, where you look like, what you're doing. He draws all men unto equal opportunity, whosoever will. Calvary, your judgment is over. So, Revelation 20 says there's some words. This is another one. turn to Psalm 56:8. Now, this is one my daughter and I find that's kind of a personal verse for us even. I just said, because if you don't know it, maybe you do. I like, there's another book, and I like, there's a several. Well, I'm going to go through a couple of books tonight. One is about works. Those are the people that thought there was another way other than Jesus Christ, and that's in Matthew 7 as well. But any, I can get to heaven my own way. I don't need Jesus. We're not going to make it. I'm sorry. I'm being honest with you because I care.
Yeah.
There's one way to the Father through the Son. But look at this one. How many of you have ever cried in your life?
Yeah.
Anybody? I've cried. I admit it. Look at this. Record my lament. Psalm 56:8. List my tears in your book. Are they not in your record? Are they on your scroll? You know what else? This is something I think. It's a personal thing. It's a Rob thing. Not a scriptural thing, maybe. Isn't it? Each tear has a story. And the thing that people say, why do you talk to so many people everywhere you go? Because I don't look at people, it's not just people. I look at every individual in this room tonight and say, you got a story.
Yeah, right.
You got a story.
Right.
You got a story.
Right.
I want to hear your story. But you know what's really cool? God is up there writing your story in a book.
Right.
And every time you cry, you're a trophy of God's grace, by the way. You want to feel good about yourself? There is in the courtroom of heaven and in the cosmic world, before the angelic conflict where demons and angels are fighting over you, you've already won if you're in Christ.
Now,
and God took your soul and put the trophy case of heaven and says, you're a trophy of my grace.
Okay.
And the devil comes against you with accusations and says, look at this, he did this wrong, he did this wrong. And God says, no, already in my trophy case.
Now, you
are a trophy of God. You are elevated. You are above. You are in the head, not the tail. You are above, not the tail. Your tears are on the scroll. And what I like about this, you show how intimate. You can look at Zechariah 2. How intimate is God with you? You are the pupil of his eyes. Nothing happens to you that he doesn't see. You look at Zechariah 2. Every hair is in Matthew 10:30. Every hair on your head is numbered. Some of us are getting thinner than others. But he knows how many are there.
Yes, he does.
But the tears are my favorite. Because when you hurt, sometimes you feel alone in this world.
Right.
Something happens. Somebody betrays you. I said, you know, when I was a state trooper, I knew where the enemy was going to shoot me from the front. I knew where they were at. They were coming at me. But sometimes in the church even, in my church family, in your own family, those you trust the most, you got to watch your back.
Yeah.
Right.
You got to watch your back. I said, church, unfortunately, this is full of people. This is not to be hard on anybody, but maybe it's something to correct.
Yes.
Is that we sometimes consume our wounded, we don't help our wounded. And when somebody steps out, like Derek tonight, steps out in faith, or you step out in a ministry, somebody says, well, I wouldn't do it that way.
Come
well,
on.
The problem is you wouldn't do it that way because you would never do it. And so you got these tears. God, I'm trying to step out. I'm trying to help you. And I got these tears every time I look around. Somebody's betraying me. Somebody's stabbing me in the back. I'll keep that one.
Okay, come on
now. I'll put it in my book. And when you get to heaven, I wish I had somebody sitting right here. I said, he's going to put his arm around you. Remember that time when this happened to you and you thought nobody knew it?
Yeah.
I knew it.
Yeah.
There it is. It's in my book. It's in my scroll. Not a tear falls from your eyes. My daughter said, yeah, but we just wipe them on and throw them on the ground. I said, that's when Jesus picked it up. And he puts it on a scroll, and he writes a story about why he cried that tear. Because he loves you. He loves you. Greater love has no man to lay down his life for his friend John 15, and God did that. He loves you. God doesn't love the world. I want to be careful. He doesn't love the world system. God loves the world people. God loves all mankind, all 9 billion of us, no matter where you come from or where you're going. But he wants you to come to him. He says, when I stand up, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to me.
That's right.
That's right. So I like that. I like that. That verse there is very sentimental to me. And I think there's a lot of times, and I think a lot of times about the widows in the church. When they go home at night, we get to go home to our families, but the widows go home alone. And I wonder how often they cry. So I pray a lot of times, God, I pray that you wrap your arms around them.
Yes.
I pray that those people in the hospital, you wrap your arms around them,
yes,
and they can feel your presence,
yes,
Lord. So whosoever will, I'm sorry, I got off track here, my fault. And John 3:16, let me get back to that. Whosoever, for God so loved the world,
yes.
He gave his only son,
yes.
That whosoever,
right.
Not selected, not elected, but whosoever believes in him,
right.
Will not perish.
Right.
But you'll have everlasting life. Why? Because your judgment has already occurred. And those who have the son have life, and this is the key. Those who do not have the son,
right.
Do not have life.
Right.
Right.
Remember that. There's one way to the Father through the Son, and it's Jesus Christ. There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, it's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
I am the gate,
yes.
And so on. So that's the one I like, that book. There's another book, All My Days. When we talk about time, God knows how much time you actually have. Psalm 139. This one's loaded, by the way. When you look at the omniscience, the omnipotence, and the omnipresence of God, you can look at this, Psalm 139. Here's one. You perceive my thoughts. Oh, my. How's your thought like tonight?
Right.
How's your thought like in traffic? I did not know that Atlanta had a 7-lane racetrack around the city. Now, if I didn't pray before I come down here, I would not want God in my head. Because this place is nuts, that's what I'm going to say. And driving is crazy.
Yeah.
How about this one? Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely.
Yeah,
it
wow.
How about that? This is the verse I have, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me are written in your book. So along with our tears and all the tears we cried,
yes.
And then maybe tears of joy in there. The moment you got saved, you had to shed tears of joy. I don't know. But next to this is going to be all the days, what you do with your days.
Right.
If I can trust you in a little bit, I'll give you more.
That's
in eternity.
Right.
If I trust you, but some people say, I don't have much.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. You're richer than you know.
That's right.
You got 2 feet.
Yes.
Blessed are the feet of those who preach the gospel.
Right.
Can you preach in a hotel lobby?
No.
Can you preach in your neighbor? Can you tell your neighbor about Jesus Christ?
Right.
You have a little, you have a body, you have breath,
right.
You. You can walk around and tell people about Jesus Christ.
Right.
All these days, what did you do with your days? What did you do when you turned 18? What did you do when you turned 21? What did you do when you 30? What did you do when you got married? What did you do with these days all week? You got 7 days, 24 hours a day. What are you doing with it?
Right.
You got something to offer.
Good.
I was talking to Destiny, who works here, by the way. She opened an hour early to cook me a sandwich.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank her for that.
Sure.
Maybe a sandwich, we sat down and talked for quite a while. She's like, well, what can I do with my life? And I said, God has a geographical will for you.
Yeah.
You work in Holiday Inn. Guess what? Everybody that comes in here, you can brighten their day with a smile.
Yeah. Right.
You can open up an hour early for a bum like me to make
yeah.
A sandwich.
Okay.
I was so grateful for that.
Yeah.
I didn't have to walk across the street. That was great.
Yeah.
So she blessed me.
Yeah.
Somebody tells you there, somebody come in here. I mean, there's so many things. If you have a voice, you can talk to somebody. If you've got needs, you can pray for somebody.
Yes.
You've got a lot more to offer than you think.
That's right. That's right.
And we'll be held accountable for our days. What do we do with our days?
That's
if they're going to be written in the book. I just thought that was so we got all the works are written in the book, but that's for people to miss it. We got the tears are written in the book. And we got the days written in the book, and if you have eternity, guess what? Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What? I was thinking about that. Can you imagine the whole, all people that have ever been are in the Stadium of Heaven, and everybody's watching as each person goes up one at a time, stand before God. And I think one of the most horrifying moments ever and all eternity is going to be the moment when an individual stands before God and he goes, you know, again? Oh.
Wow.
Wow. Hang on a second. And he goes, sorry.
Wow.
I never knew you.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? What's that person going to do? Wait a minute. I know my name's in here. I know my name's in here. I'm a good person. I gave money. Wait a minute. I never knew you.
Wow.
That is going to be the most horrifying thing in all of your life and all eternity. And the moment you see somebody, I never knew you because I thought there was another way. Oprah said there was multiple ways to heaven. So let me tell you what the Bible says.
Oh,
If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. You guys probably know this by heart. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate.
Yes.
Why is it narrow? Number one, you've got to go through alone.
Yeah.
God is not going to drag you to the cross.
Right.
Your mom and dad cannot drag you to the cross. Your best friend cannot drag you to the cross. You can be urged, but you have to go alone. And that narrow is narrow because you can only go in one at a time. And I always give this an illustration. It's only five letters wide. J-E-S-U-S. That's why it's narrow. C-R-O-S-S. G-R-A-C-E. M-E-R-T-Y. It's five letters wide. You know, I had another one. This came to me. I didn't know this. I better count it. B-L-O-O-D. Your sins are covered by the blood. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road. Where does it lead, Oprah? Where does Deepak Chopra lead? Where does Eckhart Tolle lead? To destruction. To destruction. But small is the gate, and narrow in the road is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Why is it? Because they think they can get it another way. John chapter 10 says that. A thief comes up another way. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is that? Only he who does the will of my Father. What's the will of the Father? He draws all men to his Son. The will of the Father is that all men everywhere would repent and get right with God. God never glories in a man that does not turn from his wicked ways and repent. There's no glory in that for God. He hates it. It breaks his heart. But not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? This is the religious people. Religious people. I go through the motions. I'm at church.
Right.
I know the right things to say. I look fantastic every week. I know the hymns by heart. I know the prayers. I can recite them. I know everybody's first name. I got my faith. Very, very best hat on, and I sit there in my tie. People love me, but God says, I never knew you. Don't be religious. I am not religious. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm a following imitator of Jesus Christ. I know where I came from, and I know who saved me. So, but that's just interesting. Matthew 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he does the will of my Father. Do we not prophesy in your name? Do we not drive out demons? Of course you drove out demons, because you's my name.
Right.
Seven sons of Stephen drove out demons, and they got beat up. Lord, Lord.
Right.
Didn't we perform miracles? Yeah, you perform miracles in my name, because there's power in the name of Jesus.
Right.
In the name of Jesus,
there's
power.
Right.
Why didn't the devil want us to be here tonight?
Okay.
There's power in the
name.
Right? Power in the name of Jesus. And it's funny that you said it there, but you're right. So many people from our hometown said, I didn't know you guys were hanging out together. Well, we've been doing this for several years now, when you started Blog Talk Radio. And all this, I mean, just, it was a privilege. I was excited. My buddy from high school called me. Want to be on a radio show? Heck yeah. That's going to be great, man. Let's do it. So here we go. So we're doing it. So one more thing. Let's look at Luke chapter 13, I believe. Yeah, Luke chapter 13. So we know there's a narrow gate. We know there's books being written. Not saying it's hidden from God. Why do people think they're going to get away with something? I don't know. But Jesus says this in Luke 13, chapter, or verse 22. I like this, too, because I was talking to Destiny and like we were discussing Jesus. And I said, isn't it nice to know that your Lord wasn't afraid to be associated with prostitutes and sinners?
Okay.
As a matter of fact, he told the religious, they're going to inherit heaven before you.
Wow.
Why? Because they know they have a need. Yeah. And they know that Jesus is the cure. He's the remedy for the problem that they have. And he says, so I like this because it says Jesus went through the towns and the villages. Not Jesus drove around in his limo and went to all the best shows in town. He liked the praises of men. He liked to sprinkle money wherever he went. He didn't say that. He met with all the aristocrats. He met with all the famous people. No, he did not do that. Not that he had any problem with that, but this is what he did. He knew to stick me to the position. So he went through the towns and the villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. It says this, Someone asked him, Lord, are only a few people going to be saved? And he said to them, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Why is there an effort? Because there's other people in the world telling you, you don't need Jesus.
Right.
There's other people in the world telling you, I have another way. There's people telling the people in Hollywood, if you pay me enough money, you'll get promoted and you'll make it to heaven. There's another religion that says that if Joseph Smith approves of you, you can get into heaven. That's not going to happen. Joseph Smith is insignificant. And Jesus Christ is all that matters. Make every effort. Why is there an effort? Because people are trying to distract you. When you sow the seed, Satan takes it away. When you sow another place, the sun squelches it out. You have to make it work. You have to investigate. Now, it's easy once you get there because it's a free gift. But there's so many distractions, which I think, again, is the greatest power of the devil today. Distraction. I wake up in the morning, I don't even have time to cook a pop part. I got to get in and get to work. I've got to get through this traffic. I've got 10 hours of work, and then when I get home, I'm exhausted. I can't do anymore. I got to drive my kids to soccer practice. I never expect me to read my Bible. Make every effort. Don't let anybody distract you from the process. Right? Make every effort to enter through the narrow door.
Yes.
Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Why is that? Because they think they have something other than Jesus to offer God. I'm coming in because, well, Lord, I made $1 billion on earth. My name's Bill Gates. You should let me in. I started Microsoft. That's insignificant.
Right.
We're going to stand before God naked. I'm sorry. You're not bringing anything with you.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything. You stand before God and say, try to enter and will not be able to. They're going to try to get in some other way. And I can show you that as well. This is scary. Again, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's the thing. But look at this. There's coming a time, and that's why we started with time, was this. Once the owner of the house gets up. Who's the owner of the house? In my case, it's my wife. She rules the house. We can argue with that. But listen, once the owner of the house gets up, this is God. This is Jesus Christ. Once he gets up and closes the door, he will stand outside knocking and saying, sir, open the door for us. That's impossible, Rob. I don't believe it. Oh, really? Have you read Genesis 7? When God put Noah, by the way, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Is it 1 Peter, 2 Peter 2, 5? 1 Peter 2, 5. 2 Peter 2, 5. 2 Peter 2, 5 says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached 100 to 120 years. Guess how many people got saved? Eight. Then he got on the ark. He built a boat in the middle of the desert. People thought he was nuts. And then it started to rain.
Okay.
It wasn't so foolish when God closed the door. We put that dark on people's rooms. And we said, look at the beautiful animals. Look at the elephants and the giraffes walking two by two by two, getting on Noah's Ark. Oh, and then the dove is flying around the ark, and God shut the door, and they're all safe inside. What about the 2 billion bodies that were laying around drowned because they didn't make it in? The same thing's going to happen when God returns. When the door is closed, it's too late. Now is the time to get right with God. Now is the time of salvation.
Yeah.
Now is the time of faith.
Yeah.
And another day coming, that might be too late because we close the door. That's it.
Yeah.
And there'll be 9 billion bodies laying around because they didn't get in. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, we would stand outside knocking and pleading. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you could hear the pounding on the ark? Please, I can't tread water. It's getting deeper. It's to my waist. It's to my chest. It's to my neck. I can't get in. No. Too late. God closed the door. I was thinking of a couple of people in ministry that I spoke to. There was a girl one time that pulled up to the church. She was in a Cavalier. I remember it very, very vividly. And she pulled up. And she was picking up a friend from church, and I asked her, why don't you ever come in? Well, I'm just not there yet. And I always use the same illustration, so forgive me if you've heard it. But I always say to people, why are you waiting to give your life to Jesus Christ? Gary Hewlett and I always make the joke, his grandmother's testimony was, oh, I wish I had done it sooner. We used to joke about it. She said it every Sunday. But it's great. I wish I had found him sooner. And she says, well, when I have time to think about it, and I really get my, you know, my affairs in order, then I'm going to probably come to church. And I said, well, let me ask you this, and I use this for everybody. You might be planning on getting ready with God at noon tomorrow. What are you going to do if he comes back at 11:59?
Come on now.
It's too late. And guess what? 7 days later, she was dead.
Wow.
That's not a joke. 7 days later, she was dead. My friend Curtis, and the reason I stayed at the church in Hillsboro was because I met a kid that came back from Iraq. He was newly married to a girl named Amber. They were 22 years old. He just came back from Iraq and Afghanistan. He just graduated the police academy. He'd only been home a few months. And we kept talking about God, but he didn't, never gave his life to Christ. I'll let me finish the story. On the Sunday before he was going to give his life to Christ, that Sunday, somebody told me after the fact, he was killed on Saturday on a motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
22 years old, and I'll never forget that. I've never forgotten that. But I'm like, the good thing was his friend said, Rob, he wanted to surprise you Sunday morning. He wanted to be baptized. So I believe he made the confession. I believe in his heart he had already given it to Jesus Christ. Some people worry about he wasn't baptized. I said, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to love. So I don't know. I believe he's in the loving arms of God today. But there will be a time when he'll be standing outside the door knocking and saying, well, I went to Deepak. I went to the Dalai Lama. I went to Confucius. I did all kinds of things. But, well, what does that mean? It takes 1,000 points to get to heaven, and after your 9 years of labor on earth, you got 1 point. Oh, well, I thought I had it figured out. You're wrong. You don't have it figured out. And then Derek comes up and says, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I believe in Jesus Christ. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Come on in. Your judgment's done. Your judgment's over. All I got to do now is reward you. 1 Corinthians 3:11. 14-ish. So, but he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Then he will say, we ain't drank with you. I was religious. I hung around you. Of course, everybody wants to hang around the NFL super linebacker. That doesn't mean you're friends.
Yeah,
that's right. The same thing. You can follow Jesus. You can listen to his teaching, but until you give your heart to Christ, until you die to yourself, when God calls a man, he bids him, come die.
Yeah.
Die to yourself.
Yeah.
But you didn't die. You didn't call me Lord. We ate and drank with you. And you taught in the streets. But you were like, I don't know you. I've met a lot of superstars. Do they think if I called them? Oh, I remember you. The one time I was with a million people that were doing my concert. I remember you, Rob. No. It's not going to happen. The only way God's going to know you is when he calls you mine. You're mine when you give your life to me.
Yes.
Right. Yes. He replied, I don't know you. Or where you come from, away from me. Oh, God, like I said, that's going to be horrible. And this is another thing. Now is the time to tell your friends and family members about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't know, and we don't know, if they are going to have another day.
Right.
Don't wait. Don't let your pride get in the way. Tell your best friend. Tell somebody that maybe you don't get along with about Jesus, because when it's all over, you're not going to want to see him go the other direction. That's going to be horrible. I don't know you. I don't know you, but Jesus, you got in, Jesus, but why didn't you tell me, that's going to be horrible for us. I wish I had, and that's why we take every opportunity to tell people about Jesus Christ. And what's going to happen? Well, in verse 28 of Luke 13, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this is what I love. For those that are in Christ, look at this one. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you still be thrown up. But I like this thing here because it says Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If you think of Luke 16, God is the God of the living. How many of you have lost a loved one? If they were in Christ, they're alive. There's Abraham. There's Isaac. There's Jacob. Remember Elijah and Moses appear with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. They're alive. So we know there's life after death.
Right.
Somewhere, 1,000 years from today, you're going to be somewhere alive. Either in heaven with God or in hell with the devil. We have a decision to make. And I also believe the greatest thing we'll ever hear You know, a boy many times in his life wants to hear his father say, and I could do a whole seminar on this one. What do you guys want to hear their dad say? Anybody?
Nailed it.
I'm proud of you, son. A boy needs to have his father's approval. And you know how important that is to boys on this planet. I tell my son every day, I love you. You're the best son ever. I tell my daughter before she goes to bed every night, you're the best daughter ever. I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud. My kids don't have to wonder.
Right.
I tell my son, he knew it 2 or 3 years old. If I could have any son in the world, who would it be? Me, Dad.
That's right.
The greatest approval a son can have. Imagine when you stand before God, ladies and gentlemen, and he says, well done.
Yes.
Before the whole creation of the universe, you're going to be in the spotlight, and he's going to say, this one is mine. I'm proud of them. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Take your seat at the wedding feast of the Lamb. And they will say, people will come from the east, west, north, and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. I love this. The world wants to put labels on people. The world wants to divide people. But at the cross, we'll all be brought together to the same table.
Yeah.
North and south, east and west, to the feast in the kingdom of God. God doesn't care who you are.
Yes.
He only cares that you're in his son.
Yes.
Okay, let's leave it at that. There is time. But guess what? You can't make more time. We're running out of time.
Right.
The older we get, every second, every moment, we're running out of time. Time is the most valuable asset you have in this life because you only get so much and you can't get any more. So be careful with your time.
Yes.
We're running out of time. And now is the time to come to Christ.
Yes.
And now is the time to bring people to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Blessed are the feet of those who preach the gospel in Jesus' name. Let's pray.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of knowing the truth.
Yes.
The world is looking for truth. Pilate said, what is truth?
Yes.
We can say our God is the way, the truth, and the life. I love that, God. We have the truth. We have the privilege. All other gods and all the history, which are false gods, are all mad at human race. They want to kill the human race. They want to torment the human race. They want to redeem the human race. And you did that. Anyone who comes to the Son has the Father. Anybody who's in the Son, by the way, anybody in this room tonight, you're immortal. Once you've been born, you will never die again. Peter says, you will lay your tent off. Paul says, you'll put on a new body and you'll enter the kingdom of heaven and live forever. Thank you, God, for that. We have a hope. We have a future. We have plans in Christ. We have value. We have purpose. We have meaning. People always wonder, where did I come from? Where am I going? What's my purpose? Where am I going to go when I die? Well, we have those questions answered in the Bible. You were made in the image of God. You have a purpose to serve him on earth. And you're going to be with him one day in heaven if you come to Jesus Christ and ask him into your heart and for forgiveness. So we thank you. We're saved by grace through faith. In the Christian's life, in John 19:30, the work is finished. The judgment is over. There's no judgment of faith before God. We are set free. We are set free from sin. We're set free from judgment. We're never going to see hell. We're going to stand before God. One day he's going to say, your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Here's your reward. Now we may lose rewards because we make mistakes. But God, you will never deny your own. You will never bring up a sin because you won't betray the blood of your son. Once you've been forgiven, it's gone forever. We thank you for that. We thank you for each one here tonight. We thank you for our son Jesus Christ. Thank you for your protections. We ask for your hands to be around us, such as Job. Lord, I ask you to protect us, keep us, guide us, direct us, and may we give you all the praise, honor, and glory you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And he was directed to the point. Amen?
Yeah.
blessed because he's my brother. I'm blessed because I grew up with him. But it's a blessing to see someone you once knew preach the gospel.
Amen.
Preach salvation. I don't know about a lot of y'all, but growing up and now growing up not knowing what I know now and knowing what I know now growing up, to know that when I do go to heaven, amen, I can always look and see that that was my brother long before we started preaching. Because God already had it ordained years ago that we would be here today. We both been obedient and faithful in the word. Amen. And I'm amazed. Amen. I'm proud. And I like to surround myself around good, strong men and women of God. Amen. And this is I don't really have to say that. His preaching said it all. Amen. His preaching said it all. There wasn't a whole lot of hooping and hollering. He didn't tell you to turn around 3 times. He didn't get crazy to you. Amen. He gave you the word of God, the way that the Lord gave you to him. And I'm going to say, and I know on behalf of my bishop, that's a bad white man. And I appreciate his honesty. I appreciate his love for Christ. I love listening to him in the morning. When I used to walk, I used to like to listen to him give an inspirational thought. And it just used to make my day. But to hear him in person, behind the pulpit, it just takes me to a whole other level. I'm not just sitting up here saying things just to be saying it. Because y'all heard me talk last night. And if you didn't hear me, you know, maybe you would be, but you didn't hear me. But I'm blessed to be able to be associated with this brother right here. He laughs, he jokes, he's not too serious. Amen? And it ain't about a whole lot of gimmicks. We both brothers in the Lord. We gonna support one another. Amen. He didn't have to think twice about coming. He just said on a certain day I'm gonna be doing something different. I said, we're gonna try to get you the day that we don't get all this mind up. He showed up. Amen. Now it's time. I appreciate you, brother, your whole family, your kids, your wife. You know, it's just amazing to me. And again, my wife don't want to be long with but I'm going to give her an offering of glory. But I'm just blessed. And I told you before service even started, I already knew what he was going to do. I'm done. Amen? I ain't saying we got to miss tomorrow night, but I had already got this. But what the pastor did and what he said, I'm good. Amen? I am good. We're going to keep going for tomorrow night. Same time, 7 p.m., we got Pastor Johnny Miller coming tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Amen. If I'm not mistaken, he's doing something in South Carolina. He'll be driving in. He'll be here tomorrow. So tomorrow night, he's bringing some people with him tomorrow night. So I ask that you all come back for tomorrow night. Again, I want to be a blessing to the man of God tonight. Amen. And it was funny because I was asking him about his Cash App. He doesn't have a Cash App. He don't have a Cash App. So I said, well, normally I do Cash App. He said, well, you give your Cash App and just get it to him. That's what he said. Now, he's right there. He's just what he said. So if you want to be a blessing to the man of God, I'm going to ask you to Cash App. Or if you want to give him something out of the service, that's fine. But for those that are listening that would like to be a blessing to him, you can Cash App me, and I don't even know my Cash App, I got to look it up. You can Cash App me at, trying to get to this. I know what you're saying, I know, but I don't. It is money sign Derrick, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, the letter O, 32. That's not right. It is. It is money sign Derrick, D-E-R-R-I-C-K, the letter O, 32. You want to be a blessing to my man, came all the way from Kentucky. He said he got 20 miles, and he got crazy. Well, other than that, he got a nice, beautiful ride. Amen. So we're going to pray for his safe return back home to his wife and his two kids. Amen. And like I said, he's an awesome man. If you have Facebook, look him up, Rob Rose, and just follow him. He will give you something throughout the week. Amen. He will give you something. And he, like I said, when I do my walk, I like to listen to him because he's always encouraging me. And when I see him today in the lobby, he's sitting there with his Bible out, sitting at the table, had that smile on his face, and we got to talking, and it just amazed me. And I had called my wife, I'm like, it was confirmation for him to be here, because he wasn't supposed to be here. He wasn't supposed to be here. And by us talking, and like I said, I don't go too many details, I said, well, I would have canceled this in a heartbeat if I would have known this. And he said, that's why I didn't tell you. God had a purpose for me.
Yes.
And we're all our friends back home, who I haven't spoken to in years. In years. Watching us tonight on Facebook.
God.
Some of them need to know Jesus. Amen. But now they have a foundation where they can watch either me or him or somebody else to introduce them to Christ. Amen. We have set a foundation. We set it, and I'm just glad to be a part of his life. And he's always blessed me. Like I said, he took me to places a lot of people wouldn't have took me to. And I just want to say thank you. And thank you again. If you want to be a blessing to him, Cash App, Money Time, Derrick, D-E-R-R-I-C-K. The letter O, 32. With that being said, tomorrow night, we will be here again at 7 p.m. And I'm telling you, the word has been great. If you missed the bishop last night, if you was here tonight, you heard a great word tonight, and tomorrow night, you're going to get another great word. Amen?
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, we'll have Brother Zach to be back on the keyboard tomorrow night. I want to thank him and again, Deacon Stanley for being on the guitar tonight. And everyone that came into the house tonight, I just want to say thank you. And also, I just want you to keep my mother in prayer. We'll find out today that she had to have a blood transfusion. She was bleeding internally. So I just want you to keep my mother in prayer. Amen. Keep my household in prayer. I know she's looking sweet and beautiful, but my beautiful wife, keep her in prayer. Did she do an awesome job singing tonight?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of her. I am proud of her. And she always wants to older. And I said, you got it.
Yeah.
It's a blessing. You can't sit on that.
Yeah.
She'll be singing tomorrow night, too.
Amen.
Amen. But yeah, we got going on. We got to sing tonight, man. I'm working on this for That's my style. Amen. When I asked her to do DNK, it was a fight. We were literally fighting. You can't even spray stuff on me like this last night. I told her about this last night, and then she said, okay.
Amen.
She said, I'm going to give you a rehearsal with Zach. I'm doing it. And I called Zach, and Zach always was a foul show. I'll be there. That's awesome to me.
Yeah.
And I want to thank Bishop and First Lady for letting me borrow that. Amen. I just want to thank them for they couldn't say no. I mean, we got business over here. Amen? They couldn't say that. Amen? But they allowed him to come out tonight and be a blessing, and he was a blessing. He was able to meet what he's doing. I'm saying this to say something, because he could have said no.
Right. Exactly.
I got busy. I got school stuff going on.
Right.
Amen. I'm popular on the baseball team. I got stuff going on.
Right.
But you don't get that from him. Amen.
Yes.
Disobedience.
Yes.
I got you.
Yes.
If I'm available, I got you.
Yes.
Tomorrow, I got you.
Amen.
I like that. You know, some people ain't like that. So
right.
I just want to say that publicly.
That's
I appreciate right. you.
Yeah.
You know, take care. I got you.
Because
he didn't, you don't have to do that.
Right.
He could be just saying, he didn't have to come out here and pray tonight.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay.
He could have been on the road going somewhere else.
Right.
But I just thank the Lord for coming out,
supporting. Yeah.
Amen. I just tell you, you here tonight, I nothing but love for you.
Yeah.
I said it means a lot. It's not just a number, but it's important.
Yeah.
And some people, me, I get emotional sometimes. Amen. I just like support. It don't gotta be a lot of people.
Right.
I just like support. Amen.
Yes.
When I heard Evangelist Blue West, that it just brightened my day.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Not to know of this. I know her. Amen.
Yes.
I know what she goes through. Amen. It's just exciting.
Yes.
When you see people come in the house of the Lord,
yes.
not looking for recognition,
right.
that she is because they want to be in
right.
the presence. Of God.
Right, right.
And thanking the Lord for what they have done there.
Amen.
It ain't got nothing to do with nobody else.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen.
If I don't say anything, it really don't matter. I just want to be in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. That's just me.
Yes.
So if you see me in low motion or thanking you or sending you a text, because I appreciate the sacrifice you made. I know it wasn't for me. Amen. But I understand the sacrifice you made to be here tonight, to support, but the most important, to be in the presence of God. If you felt his presence tonight, you're going to feel his presence tomorrow. So whatever you're going through, tomorrow, this is the place to be. Because you can break chains. You can be delivered. Amen. You can get a word to get you through that hard time you're going through. Amen. I turned the situation. I spoke to my mother yesterday. I think I said it last night. She told me yesterday, before she had all the situation today, if you're going to pray about it, why talk about it?
Right.
If you're going to pray about it, why talk about it? And she was fussing at me because I was telling her about something. She said, if you're afraid about it, why are you talking about it? And I started laughing. I'm like, all right, you're right, Mom. You know, because she's a feisty, you know, she don't just say it nicely. She's very firm. She's very firm.
Yeah.
She's ready to give me the word. So I just want you to keep her in prayer. Amen. Keep my whole family in prayer.
Amen.
And again, we continue to pray for you. Chief, we have Pivot Arms. It's a ministry of the church. We're going to be giving out groceries. So if you come to the prayer time night on Sunday, we have it in hand every last Sunday. We ask that you bring hands. And non-perishable to the church as we get ready to see our community. Amen?
Amen.
I want to make sure that we get that out there as something that my wife is hitting. So I just wanted to get that plug out there for her. So if you're going to be at Grace Tabernacle on Sunday, please bring canned goods to the church so we can get bags ready to give to people who need. Amen.
Amen.
That means that also on Monday, service is not here on Sunday. We'll be at the church at 8:30. Amen. We're going to do services at 8:30. I probably don't get in trouble for this, but I'm not on the time schedule. So I guess like I said, we thought at 8:30 to win in revival. Pastor said we could do it on Sunday. And I decided to go a half hour early because talking to the bishop, eventually we might go to service. A 7 o'clock service. I don't know what's going to be going on. But Pastor got a big vision, amen?
Amen.
He did two services in there before 11 o'clock for people who can't make it. And I just think this is the part of what we're supposed to be doing going out in the community.
Yes.
They're a strength of people. If we can get them in there and get them out and keep the crowd at a number where we feel safe,
right.
amen,
right.
we can have two services, amen?
Amen.
So to me, it's a practice. Ain't no part of the revival. It's just a practice of what God has given the vision to the bishop to do. I probably said too much. I'll probably get in trouble for that. So anyway, it's all good. If all minds are clear, So don't forget tomorrow night, 7 p.m. And again, let's give our speaker, Pastor Rob. He drives back and forth an hour and a half from W. Cincinnati to pastor his church. You know how many people he has been doing every week, going back and forth? Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Amen. Amen. I went back and forth. And he has a family, his son plays sports, and you know, he has to be back and forth. You know, like I said, it's a lot that he does. And he knows a lot of people. Faith. Amen. And I'm still personally sent me to that movie. And I saw all the football players and baseball players. I'm getting excited. All they were was sinners. Amen. Saved by grace.
Oh, yeah.
Having a Bible study. Amen. From all over the country. On a Zoom. And this brother told me he wanted me to be a part. And the funny thing about it is you just can't get in that type of Zoom.
Right.
You got to know somebody.
Right.
You got to know somebody. Amen. I'm looking at that, and I think he told me one time, I can't remember his name. He said, yeah, don't give his phone number out to nobody. So, okay, I got you. I got you. But just for that, and for him to do that to me, didn't have to pay no money, didn't have to send no shout out, didn't have to do nothing, just because he felt bad that I needed to be a part of that.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
And I've been telling people, people have been telling the story. So I know people, amen? We ain't balling like that, and I'm putting it on Instagram and stuff. No, that's a need. God ain't in control.
Right.
And God can take you to places that you didn't think that you would be able to go. If I ever thought I would have been in that type of situation before. And that's in sports like that. Lord, I'm a blessed man. I'm a very blessed man. Let us all rise. Stand up. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we just want to thank you right now, Father God. Father God, we want to thank you for the service right now, Father God. Father God, we want to thank you for the speaker right now, Father God. Touch him right now, Father God. We restore him right now, Father God. Father God, give him the strength, Father God. Father God, to keep going on in your name, Father God. Touch him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Father God. Father God, I ask you to keep encouraging him to do your will, Father God. And Father God, not his will, but your will, Father God. Touch his family right now. Touch his kids right now, Father God. Touch his church right now, Father God. Father God, I ask you to give him an increase of strength, Father God. And Father God, as he continues to follow you, Father God, I ask you to be a blessing to him and his congregation right now, Father God. Father God, all those that are in the house right now, Father God, I ask you to touch each and every one of us right now, Father God. Father God, I ask that you just be a blessing to us right now, Father God. Father God, all those that watched on Facebook, Father God, touch them. All those that listen on blog, Father, touch them right now, Father God. Father God, I ask that you continue to bless those, Father God, that may be dealing with a sickness, Father God. I ask you to touch them right now, Father God. You said, by your stripes, we are healed, and we're going to pray healing for everyone that is sick right now, Father God. Father God, I ask you to touch those that may be lost right now, Father God, that they may find their way to you right now, Father God. Father God, you said in the word that all they have to do is call upon their name and they shall be saved, Father God. Father God, I ask you to touch those people right now. And Father God, I ask that you continue to bless us right now, Father God. As we get ready to leave this place but not your presence, I just ask for the church to say, amen,
amen,
amen. Amen. And you are dismissed.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a great night. Have a good weekend.
You play our game Wednesday. Our game Wednesday is up. We play with deer.
It came up 10 hours
in
the middle. I want to
eat words.
Yeah.
Yeah, Monday.
Let me talk about
it. I think Paul said, I don't think you know that she's pregnant. And I live by that. When you said that, it kind of,
everybody's like, why don't you compete? So I had they were taking these steroids and everything, so I tried it.
Why didn't it make your bottles?
I don't know the answer.
I think
glucosamine. DMSO. For guys who are eating, a lot of guys are on customer replacement therapy. That's something I was just going to. Because I'm like, I don't have a lot of motivation anymore. I can't get rid of the belly fat. If I
what the hell?